everyone. I am your host, Alejandro Colindres. Welcome to Series 1 of the podcast, The Road to Champagne, 13 Tested Principles to Drive Your Career to Success. This podcast series will benefit professionals that have room for growth in their career, especially young professionals. We will explore one principle at a time. You can see the framework in the website, roadtochampagne.com. It has three parts: shape your mindset, build your brand, and be the driver. Today, we continue with part one on how to shape your mindset. We'll explore principle number four, say yes. This is about how you react when opportunities come your way that you didn't expect. I'm not talking about saying yes to whatever your boss wants or to mere distractions from an established priority. I'm referring to invitations you might get to join a project, be a guest speaker, go with someone to a class about a given topic, an international assignment, etc. These sorts of opportunities will require some level of effort, such as going outside your comfort zone, sleeping less for a few days or many days, reducing your free time, etc. But they have the potential to bring amazingly attractive outcomes. When people are facing such invitation, they fall into two groups: those that are inclined to say yes and those that are inclined to say no. The only difference is the mindset. Those inclined to say yes ask themselves, "I want to say yes now. Is there anything critical I should consider before I say it?" Those that are inclined to say no think, "Ugh, how many reasons can I come up with to pass? I am busy." So why should you say yes to opportunities that come your way in your career and your life? Because doing so unleashes powerful forces that work in your favor. This happens through the benefits you create, including: 1. You stretch your comfort zone because you are now comfortable in more situations. 2. You lose fear of uncertainty because now you're dealing with uncertain situations more often. 3. You increase self-confidence because you confirm you can handle such a challenge. 4. You grow professionally and personally because of the new experiences you'll acquire. And 5. You might cause doors to open in the future, doors you might not even consider now. I said yes to multiple such proposals in the past and do not regret any. Some enriched me through personal experiences, some opened career doors I was hoping would open. I'll give you a personal example, just to step away from pure career content. I was with my wife at church when a lady visiting came up to make an announcement. She said, "I have a group of people running a half marathon for World Vision to raise money for villages in Africa that need running water. Who would like to join us? It's in 3 months." No one raised their hand or said, "Yes, me." Crickets, crickets. So after 10 seconds of uncomfortable silence, I raised my hand to accept the invitation. I had never ran more than a few miles, so I didn't understand the necessary preparation for training that I was signing up for in the middle of a project while working for McKinsey, which is very intense. To get to the punchline, since then, running has been my passion, and I have completed over a dozen half marathons. I discovered a new sport to keep me energized, focused, relaxed, and healthy. I would not have become a runner had I sat quietly like everyone else, but I just felt like saying yes to the challenge at hand. Similar things have happened in my career as well. To help me dive into this topic, I am very excited to be joined by Hector Astorga. Hector is an award-winning wildlife photographer living in Texas. He operates a photography ranch that hosts wildlife photographers from all over the globe. He also leads and conducts photography tours and workshops at multiple locations in various continents. His work has won many prestigious awards, nationally and globally. I want my audience to know that these principles are not just for people in my field. They also apply to business owners and artists like Hector. You see, this new career was not planned. Remember, I said one of the benefits of saying yes is that it might cause doors to open in the future, doors you weren't even seeing. Well, Hector knows a thing or two about this. So Hector, welcome to Road to Champagne podcast. It's so great to have you here today. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thank you, Alejandro. Thanks for having me and thanks for inviting me to speak here today with you.
Thank you for being my guest. I appreciate it.
My pleasure.
Hector, you have an amazing story about the power of yes that I wanted to share with the world. You said yes not just once, but at least a couple of times. Can you tell us what happened over 10 years ago when you were a business owner and visited a client who requested a quote?
Sure. Just to give you a little background on myself, I am an engineer by trade. I have a degree in agriculture engineering from Texas A&M, and I worked in my career for about 7 years. After getting tired of working in my career for 7 years, I decided to, you know, become a business owner and went into business on my own. That was back about 25 years ago. Mm-hmm. So I became a business owner, and I was very blessed that I did very well. But about 10 years ago, I owned a window covering shop, and a very successful window covering shop. And I was giving a bid at one of the World Birding Centers here in McAllen, Texas, where I live. The World Birding Center is one of the most visited birding sites here in South Texas. It's visited by many people from all over the country, you know, not all over the country, but from all over the world. But that day, as I was giving my bid for the work, we were bidding a job that we were going to be doing there. I noticed that there was this exhibit of all these wildlife images. I was amazed at, you know, how neat and how good they were. And so I was talking to the young lady that was, you know, walking me around and showing me, you know, the place of where we were going to be measuring and doing all our, you know, for our bid project. And I asked her, where are these images taken? And she said, oh, these are all taken here in South Texas. And I was like, oh, there's no way. She says, no. This is a competition that happens here in South Texas. It's called the Valley Land Fund. It happens every 2 years. And photographers from all over the world come down here to compete. And that kind of got my interest in going. Now, a little background on myself. I've always been an outdoors person. You know, even since I was a kid growing up in Honduras, I love being outdoors. I love being out, you know, in the field. When I moved to Texas as a teenager, that passion for the outdoors continued. So I've always been into hiking, camping, fishing, mm-hmm. hunting, you know, basically any outdoor activity you can imagine, you know, I'm there. So this kind of got my interest going, because photography for me back then was a hobby, you know, but it was just a hobby. It was nothing serious. The interest had been there since, you know, since I was young. But I looked at this and I said, you know, this is something I might be able to do to expand my outdoor activities. That's kind of how I got started. So I basically said, you know, I'm going to, you know, this is something I want to pursue. And this was back in 2007. I decided to pursue it and went out, bought a camera, you know, bought the wrong camera, to be honest with you. I didn't know anything back then. And I started going out into the field of photographing. Met some people along the way and joined a club, you know, a nature photography club here locally. And one thing led to another. And here we are today.
When you first saw the photography in that exhibit and you found out about that competition, you were approached by some of your friends who said, hey, Hector, you should join that competition. You should sign up and participate. And you said, nah, whatever, I'm too busy. Tell us how that conversation went and why were you thinking no at first, and then what changed your mind?
I get into this, right? And I became a member of the Nature Photo Club here locally. In 2008, I mean, I've been doing this maybe a year. I was very newbie, inexperienced, I guess, if you want to call it. And a couple of the people that I met said, hey, you know, Valley Land Fund is coming up next year. You should join. And I said, no, you know, I really don't have the time. I mean, you know, as you know, as a business owner, there's no such thing as a 40-hour week. I mean, I was working 60, 70 hours a week. The business was doing very well, thank God. But I just didn't have time. And I said, no, I don't have time. Not only that, I said, I'm going up against pros. I've been doing this for 8-9 months. And they said, no, you really should think about it. Your work is good. And I'm like, no, you know what, guys, I just can't. I'm sorry. It's just too much time commitment. I mean, these contests run for 4 months. And you have to photograph in all these different categories, wildlife capturing, birds, mammals, reptiles. And
so it's not like submitting one.
No. Picture. It's not like submitting one. You submit a 100 image portfolio and you have a 4 month period to do it. And everything has to be shot in on one property, the property that you get paired up with.
Oh, wow.
The time commitment to do something like this is enormous. But after a month of people just, you know, telling me you need to do this, I started looking into it. And I said, okay, let me just look into it. And I said, you know, maybe I can do it and not really go a full out, just do it as an experience. Maybe you can get one or two images to win and this and that. And I said, a little bit further down the road, I decided, you know what, why the hell not? Let's do this.
Yeah.
And sure enough, you know, I went in it. And as soon as I started competing, my competitive instinct just took over. And I just really wanted to do very well. So I put in, you know, and it was tough because I was still working the business full time. Now, every chance I got after work, before work, weekends, I was out there photographing, trying to do well in this competition. To fast forward, the competition goes through. 4 months went by. You know, I submit my entries. And then it's a 3 month wait to get results. That year there was over 300 photographers competing and everybody submits 100 images. So it takes a while for all this stuff to get judged.
Yeah.
So that 3 month waiting period was, you know, a little intense, I guess, if you want to call it, you know, cause you're just, you know, and you're just wondering. And I thought, okay, maybe I got one or two images there. And then all of a sudden I get this letter on the mail and it says, you know, you are one of the grand prize winners. We need you at the award show. And I was like, wow, I mean, really? So, you know, nice. Again, to make the story short, I ended up winning that year, you know, after doing it for just 1 year. So after that happened, I basically told myself, maybe there is something here. You know, maybe this is something I want to really pursue. So that's kind of how I got started. And that's kind of what kickstarted me, you know, to becoming a full-time pro. Now, it took some time. I didn't become a pro right there and then, you know. It was a process to become to what I am today. That's really what got me started. And I guess that's when I said, yes, you know, this is something I want to pursue. This is something that I think there's a future in.
Excellent. And then you started a winning streak, right? Because that was not the last one you won. You won like a string of them.
Yes, that was not the last one. And again, after that one, you know, my interest really peaked and I really started getting more into it. It's funny because I have never taken a formal class in photography my whole life. But I really started doing research online and buying books and meeting more people, sharing ideas with other photographers and going out photographing with other photographers. And that's kind of how I evolved to where I am today. I ended up doing six of those competitions, and I did very well. Out of the six, I won four. I ended up won second place and won third place. I worked very hard at it. But something happened along the way in 2010. I was approached by Dr. Beto Gutierrez, who's a local physician down here, and he said, Hector, I have a property here that I'm looking for a partner to help me develop it as a photography destination. And I said, sure. What are you looking into doing? And we basically took the hunting lease idea and made it a photography lease idea. Nice. Here in Texas, it's very popular for hunters to come down and they lease your land for a week so they can hunt. We did the same thing, but for photographers.
Yeah.
We started very small. I mean, and we were not the first ones to do it. There was a couple other people already doing it, but we started very small. With his efforts, you know, with our combined efforts of him kind of paying for everything and putting the land and everything, and me with my photography expertise and building the blinds and doing all the setups, the ranch has become a success. In a matter of 5-6 years after we started, we became known in the wildlife photography in a world. And now, you know, if you want to come to see us, you have to book 16 months ahead of time.
Wow.
If not, you don't get in. It's that busy.
Yes.
So that was a huge catalyst for me.
Excellent.
When I started this, this was a weekend project and I still had my full-time business.
Yeah.
People always ask me, how did your family handle it? Well, they, you know, my family loves me and they knew I was doing something I loved. So, because they didn't see me much, you know, because I was either working or at the ranch working.
Yeah.
But I knew that this was something that I wanted to develop and I knew that this was something that I wanted to do. And, you know, we started small and, you know, it just kept growing and growing and growing.
That's amazing. And there's another yes in the story, right? When
Oh, there's a lot of yeses.
Yes, there's a lot. So tell us about how you started taking people on tours around the world. How did all that start?
Sure. So, you know, the ranch gets going, right? And we start receiving clients here. So I start guiding for clients. Now, photography was still a big thing for me, you know, not only me leading clients and me photographing here, but I was interested in traveling and starting to do photography outside of Texas. So on my free time, which was very, very little, I started traveling to different places around the country. I started traveling, you know, to New Mexico. I started traveling to Wyoming, South Dakota, Four Corners area, you know, Arizona, Utah. And I started, you know, producing work that my clients at the ranch were seeing, you know, through social media, or they would, you know, they would see me at the ranch. And a lot of them would ask me, hey, I see that you were just in New Mexico. When are you going to take a group of us out there? And I was like, well, you know, that's really nothing. It's not something I want to do, you know, because it's one thing to travel by yourself or with a couple of friends. Now, if you're traveling with clients, you know, the logistics and the liability and all that kind of stuff, you know, everything that goes into that.
Yeah.
But more and more requests. We want to go with you. We want you to take us here. We're putting a group together, but we want you to lead it. And then one day I said, you know what? I'll say yes to one. And I did my very first out of Texas trip to New Mexico with four clients. Because I said, I'm not taking more than four people. Sure enough, right away it filled up. And I did it. Came back and I was like, you know what? That was easy.
Yeah.
And the return was nice.
Good, good.
There might be something here. I think this is a yes for me because I really enjoyed it. I was in my, I guess if you want to call it, I was in my true nature. I love photographing wildlife. I love the outdoors. And I love people. I love interacting with people. I mean, I've always been a people person. So this was great. I really enjoyed myself, the very first one that I did. So the next year, I said, okay, I'll do two.
Yeah.
So the next year of 2013, I did two. 2014, I did four. and so on and so forth to where I am today. I am now leading 20 workshops worldwide, North, Central, South America, Africa, two countries, and in Scandinavia and Europe.
Excellent.
So yes, it's cascaded to where I am today. Now, the other yes that, that you're probably wondering is, when did I leave my regular work and became a full-time photographer? Mm-hmm. So I said, I'm not gonna quit my job without having, you know, a good income before I can become a full-time photographer.
Yeah.
But in 2016, I was doing enough that I realized, you know, I can do this full-time. My income as a photographer is enough. I'm very blessed. It's enough to live and live well and do what we want to do. And I think it's time. So that's when I said, yes, I want to become a full-time wildlife photographer. And so in 2016, I basically gave my wife the business and she took over and I became a full-time wildlife photographer. Now, we eventually sold the business in 2017. So from 2016 on, I've been doing this full-time.
Awesome story. As you know, many young professionals get into the grind of a tiring routine. They have little energy to pursue new opportunities that require effort. And sometimes that's a good thing, right? We must keep focused on what matters and avoid silly distractions. But sometimes you should deal with that extra level of effort required. Based on your experience saying yes, what would you recommend to our young professionals out there listening regarding how they should embrace this principle?
You know, for me, it was following something that I loved. That's what made me say yes. And I think that the passion, the love for something that you're going to do has to be there. Because if photography for me wasn't fun and photography for me wasn't something I wanted to pursue, why would I say yes? But for me, it was a true, true passion. So for me, it was easy saying yes, because this is really something I wanted to do. I think, you know, to say yes, it has to be an educated yes, I guess, if you want to call it that. Understanding what you're getting into, but the passion and the love for it has to be behind it. Mm-hmm. And you'll know it. I knew it right away. When I started, you know, getting into this, I knew right away, this is something I want to pursue. But I also knew back then that I still had to be working. You know, this was not something that I could say, okay, I want to become a wildlife photographer tomorrow. Let's leave everything else and let's go.
Yeah.
It was an educated yes, but it was a very good yes, you know. And again, I took the necessary steps to be where I am today. And it took some time, you know. So for anybody that's, you know, that has something like this in front of them, what I'm trying to say to is yes, say yes, but have the passion and the love behind it. Have a plan. This is what I want to do. This is how I want to pursue it. If the passion and the love and the work behind it, it'll happen.
Great. Let's do a before and after comparison. You were happy and successful with your window treatment company.
Yes.
How do you compare your life back then versus now?
Yes, I was happy. We were successful. I didn't dislike my job. Now, you know, let's rewind 10 years before that. The reason I left my industry is because, yes, I was unhappy with my industry. I was in the food manufacturing industry and I specialized in dairy. So I did that for close to 10 years. And then I got a little burnt out. And that's when I decided to be self-employed. So that was my first yes, I guess, if you want to call it, in my lifetime. And that turned out really well.
Yeah.
But when I had the window covering shop, I was happy. I mean, and again, we were, you know, we were successful. You know, there's ups and downs like anything else, especially when you own a business, right? But I was definitely not as happy as I am today. As you know, I have a lot of siblings.
Yeah.
And they all tell me that I don't work.
Yeah.
That what I do is not work.
You're just having fun.
You know, oh, you're just having fun. You're lucky that they pay you to have fun. It's like, yeah.
Yeah, you are.
In a way, it's true. You know that saying, if you work in something that you love, you'll never work a day in your life. I'm living that. I'm very blessed. You know, God has blessed me to be able to say that I am living that. I love being out in the field. I love traveling. I love photographing wildlife, the challenge, everything there is to do, not only getting the images themselves, but the planning, all the logistics that go behind it of everything that we do. I really, really enjoy that. So in a way, my siblings are right, you know. it is work, but I've never seen it as work.
Excellent. When do you know a no is a valid and good response to an opportunity?
I've always worked with my gut. If an opportunity comes around and it just doesn't feel right or there's too many ifs, I work out of my gut sometimes. And if my gut's just telling me no, it more than likely is a no.
Yeah.
And don't get me wrong, I've made some decisions that have not worked out. You know, luckily nothing major, but there's been some mistakes along the way that should have been a no that I said yes. But you live and learn, right? You know, you learn and progress and you learn from your mistakes.
For sure. So what is next for Hector now that you are getting paid to do what you truly love and you're having too much fun?
Oh, God. Continue. I think I still have another, 15, 15, 16 years that I'm physically able to do this and mentally able to do this, because believe it or not, it's sometimes, you know, it's not really just physical tiredness, it's mental tiredness after, you know, you're being on the field for 15, 16 days in a row. But, you know, just continue and keep growing.
Excellent. So I'm going to pass the mic on to you, Hector, and I'll let you ask me a question.
Well, actually, no, I would like to ask the same thing that you asked me. Where did you say yes that you would say has been a success for you?
Well, I've said yes multiple times, and some of them have been personal, you know, like running, but some have been also career focused. Let me give you one example of that. So when I was going to business school, I knew that I had an interest to join a management consulting firm afterwards for several reasons. Number one, I knew that it was going to be kind of like a post-MBA learning experience. I would be exposed to a lot of business problems and learn a lot. Number two, at that time, they were paying for your second year tuition if you get an offer as a summer intern. I knew that I needed that to make the math work for how I was going to pay for my MBA. So when I got to Kellogg, after maybe 3-4 weeks of starting there, there was a business case hosted by Carney, and three of my classmates, Klaus, Hang, and David, approached me and said, "Hey, do you want to join us? The teams have to have 4 people. And listen, back then, I was focused on trying to get good grades so that I could aspire to, you know, joining a management consulting firm. It was super busy, as you know, especially when you're just starting. So I could have found many reasons to say no, but I said yes. To fast forward a bit, you know, the four of us had to spend some time working on solving the hypothetical problem that was presented, you know, doing the analysis, interviews, presentation, a final verbal presentation. And the outcome was that we won first place at our business school and we won second place nationally.
Oh, wow. Fantastic.
The great prize that came out of that was that they extended the team and offered to join them as summer interns, which was what I was looking for. I was going to interview, and I basically now had, you know, that invitation to join them. So that was amazing. And then after I joined them over the summer, they liked my work. I liked working for them. So they gave me the offer to come back full time, paid my second year tuition. And obviously that helped me plug in the math that I was, you know, worried about how am I going to pay this bill, you know, at the end. So it led to the door that I wanted to open without me really knowing that it was going to open, right? I thought it was going to be a learning experience because I was going to learn from these three classmates that were ex-management consultants, right? So I was the newbie, you know, in the team. It's one of those yeses that I'm very happy that I said yes to, because there were some risks, you know, maybe my grades could have fallen, but it just opened the door that I wanted to open. And I thought I was going to knock on it in a different way. I didn't know that I was pretty much participating in a 2-month-long or 1-month-long interview process, right, through those interactions with the Carney consultants. So that is one example.
Fantastic.
Hector, each of our audience members is on their journey to success, trying to get to their champagne, that professional stage we desire and work towards. What is the main thing you want our audience to remember when they think about why they should say yes?
Follow the passion. And work hard at it after you say the yes. You know, just saying yes and just, okay, you know, it's not going to happen. There has to be passion. There has to be hard work behind it. So that's what I would recommend, you know. And then the other thing is be patient. It doesn't happen overnight. In my example, it took 10 years to develop to where I wanted it to. Like I said, the passion was there, the desire was there, and the hard work was there.
Hector Astorga, thank you so much for joining me today in exploring this powerful principle.
Thank you, Alejandro. Thank you for inviting me. And it's always good to see you and talk to you.
Yes, I know. It's been a long time. So for the audience, Hector and I grew up 2 houses away from each other back in Honduras. We went to the same high school. We were huge Star Wars fans at that time.
So what do you mean we were?
We are.
Still are.
We are for sure. Yes. So everybody, you can see Hector's amazing photography at hectorastorga.com. And you can follow him on social media as well. What a powerful story of how many yeses can transform a career. Remember, everybody, you can and must take action to unlock the power of this principle in your life. It is all up there in your mind. As a strategist, I preach that strategy is knowing what you will do and what you will not do, what is in scope and what is not. I did not come up with this phrase, of course, Michael Porter did, but I use it all the time. It helps me filter what is a low-value distraction and what is a value-enhancing opportunity. It's fine to say no to a worthless distraction that will keep you from higher pursuits, but you must be open to new opportunities to grow and learn and to new challenges that will stretch you. The result of a no is more of the same. If you're trying to improve your career or life, practice an enthusiastic yes more often. I am extremely happy I've decided yes so many times to new challenges and opportunities. We should do it all more often, like Hector. Let's meet again in episode 5, where we will explore the final step in shaping your mindset, be adaptable. Because change will come, so might as well get good at it, or even better, seek it. I have another awesome guest lined up for you. Thank you for joining me in this episode. I hope you are inspired by this principle. So cheers to your success on your road to champagne. Please don't forget to visit roadtochampagne.com and join our mailing list to download the framework we are using. If you like this episode, please share it with your friends, colleagues, and classmates. Send your comments via the website's contact page and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. Follow Road to Champagne on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and LinkedIn.